is Southside.
And a very good morning and welcome to Saturday Link Up in association with Pharma Nord Nutritional Supplements. A very historic day today, dear listener, in a whole heap of ways. A huge sort of, well, actually a huge gap, nearly a decade of working telephonically with one of our studio guests today. He's finally arrived in the studio. Amazing stuff. Minty Steed, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, Alex.
Excellent. That's all we'd like to hear. And, of course, you brought a chauffeur's extraordinaire, Jackie, along with you as well. Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
Morning. I'm fine,
excellent.
Thank you.
Good stuff. That's great stuff. Jackie also doubling up as Minty's bodyguard today, which is always splendid stuff. success and a more success. And this next couple of hours here on Southside Broadcasting, we'll be focusing on the tremendous work of terriers in the world today. I've got a whole heap of contacts here, which you've kind of utilised to great effect as far as the successes of the Southside Terrier team are concerned.
Oh, definitely, especially Barry Wild, who's coming on, and we have him to thank for the fact he knew the rules and made sure we had at least another couple of firsts, and he also handed over one of his prizes to ensure we went to a big championship show, purely because he didn't like the idea that the judge lost her nerve and placed first down to third, and because it was an unknown animal, and he thought that was wrong, so he handed over his prize to us. And we duly resulted in being a champion terrier puppy and reserve champion terrier puppy.
Genuinely fantastic. In fact, I'm looking at a copy of the Castleton Show results from the Whitby Gazette, and I see that Castleton Show results 2012 Terrier Show. There we actually have Southside Broadcasting and Kirby Ladd, champion terrier. So great stuff there. And also Southside Broadcasting with Kirby Ladd and Kirby Lass, second place from that point of view.
So, and don't forget Tarka.
Who can ever forget Tarka, the black fell bitch, who's coming in at number three for the set of this.
And so, before that, Tarka also won a first for the best. They have to be carefully measured for this one, under 12 and a half inches.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yes. Broadcasting and Tarka.
You see, short legs have their place.
It's been described so many radio presenters in their time. But
oh, yes.
I'll be walking through that.
But we won't put names to them.
Barry Wild will be coming up at around about 12 noon. Before then, of course, a whole heap of goodies. The first one we've definitely confirmed is indeed Dalestone craft specialist. That's Trevor Dixon, who obviously I think is presumably dry stoning he's involved with.
Yes,
right?
We found Trevor at the Eggleston show, and the last time he'd had sort of what you could call broadcasting publicity was with Luke Casey, and of course a regular, the Dale's Diary, the producer, director and the whole person behind Dale's Diary, who you've had regularly on air, didn't you, for many years, and they featured him for
Peter Mitchell.
Wonderful stone walls. Not only does he do the actual stone wall in itself, but he also then uses parts of the walls to make these beautiful trophies and 3D pictures, and they're absolutely marvellous, and models of sheep held in what used to be called a pinfold, made of miniature stone walling. It's marvellous that they have such a craft and skill.
Splendid, and I say that's part of the celebration of things that we'll be doing as the show proceeds.
Yes.
Coming up next, though, hopefully, fingers crossed and everything else, Animology, indeed the whole brand of Animology, and not Donny Osmond, but something completely different with Puppy Love.
Since you've been around, you almost put me at the top of the world.
Quite right, too. It's Southside Broadcasting Channel 1 for Hospedia Patient Line, and of course accessible for the interviews on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. We have Minty Steed and Jackie in the studio with us. Minty, I'm looking at a sheet here which we were hopefully going to speak to Martin about. It's got what can only be described as a whole plethora of things. We've got Animology, Puppy Love, as mentioned, and they called it... Oh, no, I won't. Tell us about Animology and Puppy Love. Why are they an important brand?
They are, because when we entered into the Harrogate event centre, and it looked absolutely amazing, more than 150 stands, and one of the first we came across First of all, we came across one that Mitzi loved, and on the opposite side, there was Animology, and it was shampoo that's specially formulated for animals, plus shampoo that gets rid of the undesirable effects of some animals, such as dogs that like to roll in...
Manure.
Should we say,
manure.
The leavings of other animals.
Exactly.
And it gets rid of all the smell. Yeah. And I offered him a challenge, or through the challenge of could he provide something that you could actually wash Dudley with? Because now Dudley has sort of temporarily forgotten about sheep being his best friend. Mm. He now considers pigs are.
Right.
And of course, following pigs doesn't leave the best smell in the world on the dogs.
True.
And he was up to the challenge, and his products work. So he's certainly more than worth a mention.
Which is fantastic stuff. Well, so we had tried to reach it without any success, but if you're interested in finding out more about this particular area, it's www.animology.co.uk. That's A-N-I-M-O-L-O-G-Y.co.uk. You can like them on Facebook. You can even follow them on Twitter with the names Animology from that point of view. And again, puppy love, a vitamin and conditioner enriched mild shampoo specially formulated for puppies and puppies with delicate skin to help keep their coats beautifully clean, fragrant and healthy. But obviously large puppies as well, given Dudley is substantial.
Yeah. I mean, you probably would like to describe to the listeners just what Dudley looks like.
Very big.
Yes, very big.
Very big.
And
if you think
very,
of,
very long in the coat.
Digby, the biggest dog in the world.
Yes, size, yes, though. And yes, definitely. And so it was quite a challenge, and they're up to it. So well worth mentioning.
Splendid. Well, as I say, we will hopefully sort of speak with the folk. And if we don't get through today, I'm sure we can actually do various follow-ups as time concerns. One of the reasons you're actually in the studio today, of course, Minty, is because the Stokesley show sadly couldn't actually function. Or it's going ahead, but not with the Southside Terriers.
No, not without the Southside team, unfortunately, because I phoned through full of anticipation as to how many terrier classes there would be, how much in the variety of terrier racing and any other sort of fun dog classes there may or may not be. So we found that someone had taken over the organising of said dog shows, etc., and the secretary very kindly read out the list of the classes, and it was any variety puppy, 6 months to 12 months, these are all like kennel club ones, which very few terriers are, then any variety of any breed and any variety sporting, and that was virtually it. There was no any variety terrier, no any variety crossbred, no any variety veteran, absolutely nothing that we do. And I said, well, they, we don't mind if there's no pun dog classes, but what do they have for the terriers separately as a terrier show? And he said there are no terriers, which I was quite taken aback at, because Stokesley is right in the heart of Terrierland. And I was amazed that I couldn't believe, really, truly, that Stokesley, of all places, did not have this whole section
outrageous.
Of terrier classes.
And Stokesley being so close to the James Cook University Hospital
as well.
It's a pity.
Amazing. It's a pity.
Never mind.
Because we could have come here and then from here go over to Stokesley and shown how great the Southside team are. But no.
Of base. Land of Holistic Pets, a truly wonderful website, landofholisticpets.co.uk, and featuring an amazing individual from Ayrshire, of course, George Burns. George, are you there?
Yes, I am indeed.
Excellent. Delighted to actually hear your dulcet tone, sir. So, first of all, we're looking at this whole line which says Land of Holistic Pets, the nutritional approach to healthy, happy pets. This sounds as though it's a passion of yours.
Well, it grew as a passion, really. My interest in it stemmed from my own experiences. I suffered eczema for about 4 years, and the doctor was, try this cream, try that cream, and eventually I asked him for an appointment at the homeopathic hospital in Glasgow. And 3 weeks later, I got an appointment, and these guys didn't want to look at me and said, look, you're going to have to change your lifestyle. And that was what was involved there, basically, was changing my diet. And 3 weeks later, the eczema was gone. And I had, my own dogs would suffer problems like skin problems and such and so forth, you know. And I just started changing their diet as well. And bingo, I got the results, you know, and I just started digging further and further into it, you know, and, you know, now I spend a lot of my time over in America, and I go to American Holistic Vet conferences, you know, I speak to some of the world's authorities on nutrition. But, you know, having said that, most of the information actually starts off with, you know, human understandings of the nutrition and how it affects the body.
I mean, you're absolutely right. We've said for a long time here on South Side Broadcasting that you might have a Ferrari, but if you actually put sugar juice in it, it's not going to actually work as well as it does if you actually put the proper fuel in.
That's exactly correct.
I think the notion there that actually only 3 weeks the eczema has actually gone in your own particular instance, that's it doesn't take long just to change your diet and you can really actually change your life.
Well, one of the arguments that I use with people really is that, you know, if you sit and drink a full bottle of wine, you know, within an hour, really, your whole body function changes, you know. Mm. And I use that argument really to emphasize that, look, you know, it's very difficult to get people to understand that salt, for example, can take years before it starts to create hypertension in the body, you know. But there are foods, basically, which can have an adverse effect very, very quickly. Mm. And one of them that comes, another one that comes across to me is, like, for example, children, when they're eating these colourful sweets, you know, with E numbers and such and so forth, you know, and it makes them hyper. You know, and the thing about it is that it's a difficult message to get across and educate to people that diet is very, very important. And as far as dogs are concerned, my attitude to it is that, look, you know, we take responsibility for those animals, therefore what we should be doing is taking the responsibility to understand how diet influences their well-being.
I'm particularly intrigued by Robbie's salmon and brown rice. In terms of a latest routine, because as is often the case, you're thinking, well, I would. It sounds as though it's a connoisseur, gourmet of treats for pets. How do you actually go about testing the particular quality of the foods with what our canine friends happen to like or not like?
Well, that's a good question. I've got a lot of friends with dogs, and basically what happens is that you just... You try the food out, but the other thing about it too is that, you know, I will eat some of it myself, you know, not for a prolonged period of time, but the thing about it is you don't actually go out there and test it in animals. What you do is you feed it to friends' dogs or you feed it to your own, and you just sit back and watch the results, you know. You know, there's not any scientific aspect associated with it, you know, but the other side of it is that it's about having knowledge that, you know, and utilizing knowledge that's been there for thousands of years, you know. You know, for example, I will use traditional Chinese medicine as an approach to how I formulate the food, you know, and what I do is I look, first of all, at the quality of the ingredients, you know. And, for you know, one of the things is that if you refine whole flour or whole wheat to white flour, you know, you lose something like between 26% and 90% of the nutrients, and I'm talking about the potassium, the calcium, you know, and such and so forth, the cobalt, you know. Mm. And it's the same way, you know, that's one of the first things that you look at, and then the second thing you start to look at is the thermal qualities of each ingredient, you know, and how it impacts on the body, you know. And you do it yourself naturally, you know. You'll eat salads in the summer and soups and stews in the winter, warming foods and cooling foods, you know. Well, the next thing you've got to take into account, of course, is that, you know, there are some of the ingredients, for example, like fat, is very damp forming in the body, you know, and those other foods are very drying, like oats, you know. And then the next thing that you take into account is the acid, alkaline impact that an ingredient will have. And you're trying to balance that all out, you know, so that you're getting the proper combination. And then, of course, the last thing that you might look at would be the potential for excesses, you know, too much protein, fat, salt, sugar, etc., you know. And so it's not just a general throw it in the dish and see what happens. You know, you've got to take a lot of issues into consideration when you're formulating a food.
I'm glad you said that, George. Now, in the studio, we have the young lady, our producer, who's responsible for you being online at present. Minty, you seem to have brought out some samples here. I mean, I'm not going to try them now, but...
Well, we brought a sample here. Yeah. We saved it. much to Mitzi's upset because she wanted to eat it, but we saved one so you could have a visual concept of it. And I have to say that Mitzi tried an awful lot of samples from an awful lot of people and she absolutely loved it. And all I can say is it did her nothing but good.
Well,
it's well worth using.
That's an endorsement if ever I heard one from that point of view. George, I see that actually at the back it's no chemical flavouring, no wheat, gluten-free, no soya, no dairy, no pork, no eggs, hypoallergenic, brown rice with chicken. So a natural approach to healthy, happy pets, which pretty much endorses what you've just been saying. And clearly we have, as I'm sure Minty's explained, sort of the Southside Terrier group have been doing wonderfully well on that point of view. And you'd say actually what George is doing is very much good for pets.
Oh, yes, definitely. I would personally recommend it. And not only because I think it's good, but the way the animals that have tried it have received it and enjoyed it, then there's proof in the testing of it, isn't there? And they love it. So I can see nothing but it being excellent.
So, George, in the growing and expanding world of pet foods and various other things, it's delightful to actually see an independent Scottish company actually doing well from that point of view. Do you intend to maintain that independence? So if one of the big boys comes on and say, we'd like to buy you out, George, what would you do?
Well, the thing about it is that's a very difficult question.
Yeah.
And
you don't have to answer it, George. I just wanted to throw it in there, really.
I understand exactly where you're coming from, you know, but it's one of these sort of things, you know. I think it's unlikely to happen because there's probably not enough profit in it, you know. And a lot of the whole business basically is based around passion rather than profit. And my attitude is, look, the first and foremost thing is health. You know, and if there's any profit to be made, then it will come secondary.
Very, very wise and very important routines. Minty, any questions you want to put to George?
Yes, I do have one. Does George feel that it can possibly go as far and wide as it should? It's something I think should be known worldwide. Does George feel that he's winning the battle to proclaim holistic foods, or is it still somewhat of an uphill thing holistic?
That's a very good question, and the timing's actually quite interesting. We already export the products out to Japan, and on Tuesday the Japanese people are actually coming to the UK, and I'm meeting them on Tuesday, you know. And it's already in Spain, it's in Italy, you know. We've quite a presence in Ireland. So the hope and expectation is that people will pick up and grow with it, you know. One of the nutritionalists that I know, and I spoke to a couple of years ago, suggested to me, in fact, that the Robbie's Holistic Cuisine was a food almost before its time. And I'm inclined to agree with them, you know, that it's now just beginning to come of age, you know. And when I say come of age, you know, that the market has been dominated with complete kibble foods for such a long period of time, you know. And the Robbie's is really the extension, and it's making that bridge between a super premium pet food and home cooking.
Just splendid. And interesting enough, one of our regular Californian correspondents, Celeste Yarnell, from the series Star Trek, a whole heap of others, she did a PhD in nutrition and also with MoxArt runs a similar sort of company. So maybe we can actually put chaps together and all sorts of things there. Splendid stuff. George, it's been wonderful sharing some airtime with your good self this morning. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us here on Southside Broadcasting?
Yes, I have indeed. Thank you very much, and thank you for the opportunity to be able to express my views and my attitudes.
Well, it's always a delight, George, and can we look forward to hopefully featuring you again in the not-too-distant future?
Yes, no problem at all.
Excellent. George Burns, not to be confused with Robbie, of course, easily, or indeed Kenny, but, you know, the George is
one other interesting fact, if you don't mind me saying, you know, my other food, the Lewis food, was actually named after Robert Burns's dog.
Ah, you see, I knew there was a connection somewhere around that whole thing. Wee, sleek it, timber it, beastie, etc. George, it's been a delight. We'll speak to you again very soon.
Okay, take care and thank you.
One of Liverpool's finest cast. with All Right. And if we're talking about casts here on Southside Broadcasting, we go. We step away to Dalestone Crafts with the unique handmade miniatures and a whole heap of other delightful things. We're very pleased now to be able to say a hearty hello to Chief Executive Officer, founder indeed of Dalestone Crafts, Trevor Dixon. Are you there, Trevor?
Yes, good morning.
Splendid. Now, I gather you've had dealings with our good friends Peter Mitchell when he was producing Luke Casey, amongst other things. Is that right?
Yes, we had Luke Casey came to the farm himself, going back about 10 years now, when he doing Dale's Diary. Mm. Well, and he spent a day with us.
You see, who would have thought, Trevor, that, you know, a long time ago you still get brought back into the celebrity status of being a fourth generation farmer in the North Pennine Dale of the River Tees, which is fantastic. So share with us, Dalestone Crafts, what is it all about?
Well, as you know, I'm a farmer on a hill farm. We have a lot of walls. We have 5 or 6 miles of walls on the farm. And it's been my job, apart from well, they work to keep the walls in good repair, putting gaps up that come down, and it's a sort of a never-ending job. And in the past, my hobby was clay pigeon shooting, which I did for a number of years, and then I stopped doing that, and I was looking for something else to do, and I saw in a shop, I think it was in the Lake District, where somebody had been making some walls, and I thought, well, that's a good idea. So I made a few, and I put them into a friend of mine had a public house in Barnet Castle, and I put a few in there to see what reaction would be, and he sold a few, and I thought, well, we might have a little business going here. So, yeah, it's about 20 years since I started with them, and I'm still doing them now, yeah.
I'm particularly impressed by looking at the gallery of the website, which, of course, is dalestonecrafts.co.uk. You actually offer a build-your-own kit.
I do, and they're very, very popular. I go around shores and agricultural shores and Christmas markets at the back end of the year. Mm. And, yes, they're very popular.
So, and remarkably good value, I have to say. £10 per kit, £12.50 postage and packing. Amazing, though. Anyway, I'm not going to endorse them from a presentational point of view, but interesting stuff.
Well, to the postage and packing, there's a little bit more, because they're quite heavy.
Really, I would have thought so, yeah. Quite rightly so.
So they are a little bit more to post.
Okay. In the studio, we've got the young lady who actually is responsible for you being here, of course, today. I think it was at the Eggleston show, Minty, you connected together with Trevor Dixon.
Yes, we did. We had only one show out of the whole show season, travelling from one end of the country to the other. We came back empty-handed, but made the most of it. A beautiful showground, lovely setting, decided to travel round from one end of the showground to the other, and we came across Mr. Dixon, and we came across the lovely stand, and he just looked so skilled, and I admire people who have skills with their hands in that manner, and I thought it was well worth a mention, and I asked if he would come on radio, and he said definitely yes he would, and here he is now.
Quite
and
rightly
I think
so.
He deserves the time, because it's well worth looking at.
Yeah. 3D pictures, I see. That's an interesting line in this three-dimensional world you've introduced, Trevor. Wonderful sort of 3D framings of rural scenes.
Yes, that's right. Well, I don't call myself a good photographer, but I have taken some reasonably good pictures of scenes around Teesdale mainly, and I make a frame that they sit in, and it gives the impression of a little wall in front of the photograph. It gives the impression of a 3D effect looking over the wall into the Dale scenery. Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, I know from country shows that we've been lucky enough to attend that the whole art of dry stone walling is a skill in itself, which is obviously not as easy as it looks in many ways. It's interesting that you actually offer tuition for people who are actually looking to learn to do some dry stone walling. Roughly how long does it take for a complete novice to effectively be able to build something which is remotely usable?
Yes, well, it all depends on you need a certain amount of manual skill to start with, you know, and there is a technique in building walls. Different walls in the different dales in the Pennines have different stones, so you really, depending on the type of stone you use, it's a different technique. But yes, I mean, it takes practice. It's like anything else. The more practice you get, the better you get at it. It would take quite a few, quite a long time to be proficient at it. Yeah.
Well, like all crafts, basically, you know, there are people who actually still say even radio, you need to actually work on that. If you're teaching people how to make models, I'm intrigued as well by the fact that you're also not only run courses in how to lay a dry stone wall, but also how to catch moles.
It's the little pest moles. We have a lot about in the Dales, and as I say, we have quite a large farm. It's 350 acres, and there's always moles. They start working the land around about this time of the year through till spring, all the year round, really, but the best way of time to catch them is through winter and spring. And yes, I try to keep our farm clear of moles, and I've taught quite a few people how to catch them on their farm, you know.
So, I mean, presumably this is a humane catching. I mean, you're not talking about mass extermination here, are we?
No. We'll never exterminate.
No.
Never exterminate them all together.
Oh,
it's the control. Yes, it's the humane way of trapping them, yes.
Okay, and then hopefully letting them go elsewhere, or not, as the case may be. Minty, anything else you'd like to question Trevor on?
I would be interested to know from Trevor that if he feels that overall that the stands at the shows when they're all in one craft area offer a better way of having a trade stand than when people have the more individual areas that you sort of made your own. Do you feel it's within the marquees it's better for you, or do you feel when you're sort of more out with your own specific area that tends to get the custom more towards you?
Well, it's an interesting point, but because I go in a craft tent, for one of the reasons is that I don't have a tent of my own that you need outside. And the problem is when you're outside, you're open to the elements.
Yes, of course.
And a little gazebo-type tent would be okay when the weather's fine, but if it's windy, well, the tent would blow away. So it's really handy for me to have a table in a marquee, like you saw at Eggleston,
Oh, yes, I did. The only reason I asked that was that, for either of a deep understanding of business, that if you have perhaps 200 or 300 people who are just walking round to look, you may, at the same time, lose 2 or 3 people who would be customers, you know. I wonder if...
Well, yes, that's true, but as I say, you know, over the years...
At least you're covered up, yeah.
Over the years I've been doing it, I find it's best to be in the market. There's a lot of people around interested in...
And at least you're not on your own, are you?
Well, that's right, you have somebody up there next door.
That's what I mean. So you're either all doing well, or if you're not doing so well, at least you don't feel you're on your own in one corner and everybody else is doing okay and you're not. At least you're in your home environment, shall we put it that way, everybody who does craft. Yeah.
And as indeed you quite rightly note in your website, Trevor, you were into diversification before it was fashionable. So fantastic on that sort of routines. You're a pioneer, a pioneer.
Yeah.
A reminder, the web address to get in touch with Trevor and find out some of the wonderful crafts and things he runs. Usual 3ws.dalestonecrafts.co.uk. That's dalestonecrafts.co.uk. Trevor, have you had an interesting debut here on Southside Broadcasting?
Mm-hmm.
Has it been okay for you, sir?
Oh, it has, yes.
Good,
yes.
That's all right. I mean, I won't ask if it's been better than the Lou Casey experience, because obviously you had a full film crew there, so we'll motor on from that. But can we look forward to possibly coming and featuring you again in the not-too-distant future?
Oh, I'm sure that would be okay, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Trevor Dixon, founder of Dalestone Crafts, we salute you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
These drugs affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 225
grams of magnesium. Hang on. I've got a pen here. Hang on. Slow down.
And one tablespoon. Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution,
oh,
then
right.
you can always call Farmer Nord oh. on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Farmer Nord, I wonder?
PHARMANORD.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Farmer Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Somewhere else each night. I dreamed in color, 'cause I lived in black and white. Until I chanced upon this road that led to you, I could not see how anything could be. This is a real sensation, it's better than a dream. Distant door, I knew there must be more to life, and now I'm sure. No dream of pirate caves or Indian braves or magic carpets could it's better than a dream. Crazy and in confusion, and better than a dream. Better than a dream.
Katie Malua, Better Than a Dream. People might actually say, as they're listening to this special Pet Saturday feature that we're running through, pet and rural activities that we've been working through, that we're having a whole heap of other scenarios coming through. And when you start talking about eliminating bad breath and fighting oral disease, controlling plaque and tartar, you might think, oh yes, toothpaste, but pet's toothpaste, a different line entirely, which is one of the reasons why we're delighted to welcome one of the main product creators of the petslife.co.uk, that's PETZLIFE.co.uk, the amazing Ashok Patel. Ashok, are you there?
I certainly am.
Excellent. Welcome along to the show this morning. Now, share with us this whole notion about, because I mean, it is one of the lines that has been mentioned, that obviously doggies in many ways, sometimes, depending on what they're eating and what their diet is, it can be just a little bit, their breath can be a little bit, well, not the most fragrant, but you seem to have actually adjusted this and sorted out a good canine teeth control as well.
We certainly have done that. You know, bad breath depends really upon a lot of things. Primary reason bad breath occurs in a pet is usually oral disease, and most people, the last thing we think about when with our pets is oral care, especially with dogs, because the original belief was that you never have to brush your dog's teeth. You know, a lot of dogs are given rawhide bones and bones, and they chew a lot, which does certainly help. But as they get older, and with some of the dog foods that are now being manufactured with, you know, high content of carbohydrate leads to a lot of sugar production in their mouths, and leads to plaque and tartar. And 7 years ago, we had a friend who came in asking about his dog who had really, really bad plaque and tartar, and kept on bugging me to make something that would remove it. And I just kept on looking at him like, are you nuts? You know, if you were a human being, I might be able to do something, but how am I going to do that for a dog? You know, we have oral mouth rinses, and we have, you know, all sorts of brushing capabilities and dental tools that you can scrape that off with, but you know, on a pit bull, I'd be quite
cautious. I think
cautious,
basically.
Very, yes, scared. Yeah. And he kept on; he just wouldn't leave. And I said, "All right, give me a week, and I'll see what I can do." And as he was leaving, he said, "Oh, by the way, I'd like it to be natural." And I'm like, okay, that does it. There's no way I can do that. He comes back in a week, and you know, I really had totally forgotten about it. And I went to the lab and took, you know, found a few ingredients, the essential oils and herbal extracts, mixed a few things together, gave them to him, and he went away. And before he went away, he said, what do I do with this? And I'm like, all right, here's another problem. Again, if we're a human being, we'd say rinse with it 3-4 times a day and see how it, you know. But since it's a dog, maybe try Q-tip, or, you know, I put it in a spray bottle, and I said, spray it in his mouth, you know, 3-4 times a day, and see what happens. He comes back, you know, a month later with before and after pictures, and it's like you're sitting there saying, okay, you photoshopped this. And he looks at me and saying, what is Photoshop? And I said, okay, you took your dog to a veterinarian to have his teeth scaled. And he said, no, you know, This is your product.
I'm actually looking at the before and after photographs now, and you're quite right. You would say that's a bit of artificial manipulation going on there, but no, actually genuine scenarios. You know,
I'm just sitting there looking at him like, no way. And he said, okay, if you don't believe me, how much would you charge me if I ordered 500 of these bottles? You know, and I just threw a number out. I said, $6 a bottle. He writes a check for $3,000. And I was thinking, no way. So I said, look, before you do anything, let's do some more testing. And so we contacted the local Humane Society, and you know, my daughter and I volunteer there. So we asked the veterinarian there to try it out, and one of the greyhounds' picture is the one she tried, and you know, she calls me in 10 days, and she says, 30 days, forget that. It works in less than a week. So...
So, I mean, just in terms of your own background, was it a chemical engineering background? Was it biochemistry?
No, a PhD degree in biochemistry from University of Wales.
Excellent. Well, you see, obviously, it's nice to see that bio... I mean, you know, I sort of switched in my postgraduate studies and actually just did chemistry and biology at first degree level, but it's nice to see that there's a reason for the whole system, and Ashok, you've clearly demonstrated that, you know, that comes through to clean dog's teeth. It's fantastic.
Well, you know, a lot of times a few of my family members laugh at me saying, you know, I'm wasting my PhD by making shampoos and skincare products, etc. But the way it's gone in the last 5 to 7 years is based on some of these natural products. Yeah. I've come up with some absolutely amazing products. I've got this oral care products that remove plaque and tartar, totally natural, 100% natural, you know, totally safe. And now we're working on some skincare. I've got a product that works on psoriasis, acne psoriasis. Mm. So,
and I'm also interested in, obviously, shampoos with cranberry seed oil, spray mists, aromatherapy spray mists, flea and tick control, a whole heap of things from that point of view. It's obviously a great success. Minty, what are you... Because presumably you met up with Ashok at the...
At Harrogate, yes.
At Harrogate, yes.
And I was immediately impressed with it because I could see not only the product had great viability and possibilities to it, but also Mr. Osler himself is a very genuine person, and you could see that he didn't just believe in selling his product, he believed in it, and that's very important. And so I just homed straight in, and I think it was one of the best finds of the day, really and truly.
Well, there we are, Ashok. That's high praise indeed from one of our roving reporters and producers there.
I thank you very much for it.
Praise where praise is due, and as I do come from quite a number of generations of family who were absolutely born and bred into business, I know the difference between someone who knows he's a damn good salesman and someone who has a very good product, and you combine the two very effectively.
Well, you know, and that's always been one of my biggest sort of drawbacks, is that I cannot stand and do the big rara like a lot of people.
No, you don't need to. Not with a good, genuine product. It will sell itself, and, you know, you're a testament to your own product. And I thank you very much for the spray that you provided to test it out, and it's already working, so thank you for that.
And you said that's one of the remarkable things with our products, is that most people look at it and they look at the price, they're like, no way, this is snake oil sale. Mm-hmm. This is snake oil. It's going to work. Mm. And it works, and it works within, you know, 5 to 10 days. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I really, if you look at the oral care products on the market, I doubt if you'll find anyone taking their product and putting it in their own mouth.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying it on teeth and things like that.
Oh, yes, I know that. And you see, after all, I know that you've now come to the absolute belief, as most of us should do, and in fact all of us should, that everything we needed on this earth was put there for us, both for man and animal alike. And if you harness the benefit of nature, then you're working in harmony, not only with yourself, but everything around you.
Absolutely.
Very much.
That's so well put, isn't it?
Thank you.
A classic holistic routine, as you say in the strapline for Pets Life, dedicated to improving pets' lives. Ashok, it's been absolutely splendid just connecting with your good self today. Clearly, if people want to find out more, you can go to the petslife.co.uk website. It'll be linked in via southsidebroadcasting.com as well. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Ashok?
Yes, Totally. Yes, absolutely.
So can we look forward to connecting again with you in the not-too-distant future?
I would love that very much.
Excellent. Ashok Patel. Dr. Patel, of course, from Welsh University. I mean, as a King's College London graduate, I tend to think we're all one.